a reading from the New International Version, the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. It's what happened in Thessalonica. When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scripture, explaining and proving the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go.
This morning we ask our brother from the Tamil Christian community to come and minister to us, Reverend Albert. We know that God has given him the word for today, and we pray that the love that flows from our hearts and our prayers will encourage him to speak that word today with boldness and with conviction. The Lord bless you.
Good morning. Good to see all three congregations are together on the first day of the year. Can I see the members who have come from the Millikan, the English congregation? Wow. And the Koreans? And the Tamil Christian Church of Canada? Good to see you all. And the conversation with the children started with the New Year resolution. Let me begin with the same topic. Probably some of you would have heard the Times Magazine conducted a survey to find out commonly broken New Year resolutions. Have you ever heard this? Commonly broken New Year resolutions. Number one, lose weight and get fit. Learn something new, quit smoking, eat healthier diet, get out of debt and save money, spend more time with family, travel to new places, be less stressed, volunteer, etc. And we break all of them. Probably some of us would have also made New Year resolutions yesterday or this morning. There's an interesting New Year resolution I want all of us to consider seriously. In Exodus chapter 31, verse 15, says, "You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord." Do you know the end of the verse? "Anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death." That's the last part of the verse. "Anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death." Relax or die. Don't you think this is a little too much from the part of God, relax or die. Probably we need to take this a little more seriously. The free gift of God's grace demands us that we complete trust in Jesus. How many of us who have come to this church this morning have complete trust in God? We are Christians, of course. We come to church regularly. But do we have complete trust in God? Probably that is something we need to take seriously. The Bible passage we heard this morning, Paul and Silas went to a place, and the people called them these men who have turned the world upside down have come here. These men who have turned the world upside down have come here. I'm from a little island called Sri Lanka, formerly known as Ceylon. There was a civil war in my country for 30 years. Thousands of people died. About 70,000 people died. It was a revolution. Revolution against the state. And we also would have heard revolutions in many countries all over the world. Many revolutions. Social revolutions, political revolutions, even religious revolutions. And people who create revolutions are known as revolutionaries. A revolution means a person or persons are trying to do something which is not accepted by many. The Bible passage called the disciples or apostles revolutionaries. These men who have turned the world upside down. You and I, disciples of Jesus, apostles, are the people who have turned the world upside down. If you have not done so, you are expected to do. Turn the world upside down. These men who have turned the world upside down have come here. If you read St. Paul's letters, in many places, Paul talks about revolution. They went to Ephesus, for an example. In Ephesus, there was a practice of worshiping idols. They believed for them to worship God, they need to have an idol in front of them. The disciples went there, and then they said, "You don't need to have an idol to worship God. You don't need to see God through idols. God is present everywhere." Then the Ephesians said, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here." Then there was a traditional belief among the Jews that we are the chosen people of God. All the others, all of us who are here, are Gentiles. Jewish people are the chosen people of God. But then the disciple said, God created the whole humankind. He loves everyone. He never differentiates Jews and Gentiles because he died for all. And they said, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here. There was a slave trade in practice at that time. The disciple said that there is no such difference between masters and slaves in God's sight. So the people said, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here. There was a difference between the rich and the poor. The rich people thought that they will get more blessings from God than the poor. But these disciples said that God does not differentiate the rich and poor. So the rich said, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here. These disciples had something more meaningful than money, freedom, and good position. For them, these things were secondary. Probably some of us would have read the story of Philemon. There was this slave named Onesimus. The slave Onesimus ran away from the master. The slave has to work for his master till he dies. A slave can't run away. If he runs away and gets caught, he will have to face a severe punishment. This particular slave, Onesimus, thought that he can't pull on with his master, so he ran away. Halfway through, somewhere, he met Christ. He became a Christian. What did he do? He went back to his master. For him, Christ was the first thing than his freedom. We see the early church, many people sold their properties and gave the money to the church. In other words, they shared everything. For them, money and properties were not important. Even if you consider the life of Paul, he was a rich man and was holding a good position. For him, good position was not an important thing after he became a Christian. Therefore, God is calling all of us to turn the world upside down. Simply, it means we are here to make a change. All of us who are here are called to make a change. When other people see us, they should call us these men and women who have turned the world upside down have come here. Today is the first day of the year. We have come to this church to begin the first day of the year with God. You know, the Gospel according to Mark says Jesus began his ministry with a simple word, the word repent. Do you know the literal meaning of the word repent? The word repent means you're walking on a road like this. Repent means turn back, walk on the other way. This is our call. This is our call from God. Repent. Repent. In other words, the word repent means more or less revolution, change. God wanted all of us to repent. God wanted us to change our life and thinking. Can we create a change in our families? Can we create a change in our society? Can we create a change in the country? These men and women who have turned the world upside down have come here. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that you make all things new. Thank you for all that you have allowed into our lives this past year. The good along with the hard things, which have reminded us how much we need you, rely on your presence, filling us every single day. We ask for your wisdom, for your strength and power to constantly present with us. We pray you make us strong and courageous for the road ahead. Give us ability beyond what we feel able. Let your gifts flow freely through us so that you would be honored by our lives and others would be drawn to you. We pray for your protection over our families and friends. We ask for your hand to cover us and keep us distanced from the evil intent of the enemy, that you would be a barrier to surround us, that we'd be safe in your hands. We pray that you would give us discernment and insight beyond our years to understand your will, hear your voice, and know your ways. May we make a difference in this world for your glory and purposes. Set your way before us, O Lord. May all your plans succeed. We may reflect your peace and hope to a world that so desperately needs your presence and healing. To you be glory and honor in the new year and forever.